Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But Pittsburgh's owned for a period of time, and I don't know if we were FSN, if we were Root, or who the heck we were at that time when Brent Stover was here, but now he's a big star. I saw him do a sports update on 60 Minutes not too long ago. I'm like, that's Brent Stover doing 60 Minutes. Now he's a country music star, has this really cool video that we'll talk about that's out. He's a studio host. He does play-by-play. He does it all. Renaissance man, great guy. Talking a little college football with us tonight. Brent Stover, how the heck are you, my friend?
Man, with that kind of introduction, Paul, I need to get back together with you. I could use that. I'm in New York City. It's tough sledding around here. So, man, I appreciate that, and it's fun to be on the show with you. I've missed you, buddy. It's good to be able to catch up a little bit.
It is good to reconnect, and I'll tell you what, the Instagram girl next door, the video, the music, I had no idea. I have for a while now. I've seen that you've been doing a lot of playing. You've been doing a lot of gigs in New York City, which is fantastic. But how long has that been your passion? How long has country music been your thing?
You know, I've always liked country music going back to my days at Kansas State and growing up in a medium to small town in Kansas. But, you know, about 4 years ago, actually I turned 40, and I needed a hobby. And I had never picked up a guitar. And, you know, there's actually surprisingly some decent surfing not far from New York City. And I was like, you know, I'm either going to try to become a surfer or I'm going to start playing the guitar. And I started thinking how difficult it was going to be to try to get – I don't have a car or a pickup, so how am I going to get a surfboard on the train and go back and forth to the ocean? So I bought a guitar. And
a guitar a little bit easier.
Exactly. So I took it home and learned a few chords online and took a few voice lessons and started writing and covering a few songs. But I really enjoyed writing. And you know, there's a lot of musicians around here, so it's not hard to find people to write with, to play with. And before long, we were playing around the city. There's a place called the Waylon. It's a country honky-tonk in the middle of New York City named after Waylon Jennings. And we started playing there, got a weekly residency for 2 years before the pandemic. And we were playing every Tuesday night and playing at some other local spots, including, you know, the Bitter End, which is a cool kind of iconic place down in Greenwich Village. And just it just became really fun and cool, and decided to record a bunch of my original music. And this first one kind of came together. Actually, it was the last of 10 songs that I've written, but we kind of thought it would be a good one to kind of break the ice, and shot a music video on my buddy's farm down in Alabama back in June, and finally got around to releasing it here last Friday. And it's been really cool, and the response has been really fun.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's very fun, and we're working on our Entercom entity, Y108, to get you on there, because it's just a great story. How many years did you spend here? I know I was here every moment of it with you, but I don't remember how long. And were we FSN? Root Sports, who were we then?
FSN Pittsburgh, but we were also, you know, I came out there to primarily host the Cardinals and the Blues pre and post, because that was the time, obviously, when FSN Midwest and FSN Pittsburgh were both out of there. And so I moved there in 02, and I was there from 02 to 06. Yeah. So.
Okay. And it was good stuff. We had a lot of fun. My favorite things, remember the old high tops? That used to be catty corner to PNC Park. And it would be the opening game of every series that the Pirates would play at home, that third floor at High Tops, we would have a little gathering, and it was always very fun.
Oh, it was. Oh, Marshall Harris was there. Who else? I mean, it was that was the spot, and it was. It was so much fun, man. I miss those days and those nights. Nothing too crazy, but it was man, the biggest thing I miss was having the stadium literally right. And I know you guys are, you know, it's new studio now, and it has been there for years. But right. Even the old studio when I was there, you know, 14 years ago, was just right down the street from, you know, so you could host a pregame and even host a Cardinals pregame and then go down and watch a few innings of the Pirates and then get back in time to do, you know, both or whichever postgame you were on that night, whether it's Pittsburgh or St. Louis. But, man, those had such a great time and such fond memories. And I tell everybody to this day, I mean, you know, I've since lived in Chicago and New York City, but nothing beats Pittsburgh. I'd put it up against, you know, I lived in St. Louis before that. Pittsburgh and the sports fans and the people and just, I don't know, it's as good as it gets in terms of a sports town and a place to live.
Yeah, it's pretty special, but you're in the hub of everything right now. You're in the Mecca. You're where you should be. So tell me a little bit about college football. How strange has it been to get it going? How good is it? Does it look like it always has? The games that you've now, whether you're doing the studio or whatever, the games you're just watching, is it college football like we've come to know and love?
To me, it feels like it, and I think it's getting more and more that way every week. Obviously, the first couple of weeks, it was kind of a slow start in terms of the schedule, but, you know, the SEC started 4 weeks ago, and now this weekend, in fact, Illinois and Wisconsin have just kicked off. Badgers up 7-0. But the Big Ten kicks off this weekend. And for us, it's important because the Mountain West kicks off. And on CBS Sports Network, we carry a lot of Mountain West games. So we'll have a couple of games on our air tomorrow night, including San Diego State. Yeah, it's good. We have a lot of Army games and Navy games on our air. But nationally, yeah, you know, the stadiums are different depending on the state and kind of the laws and how people are attacking this with COVID. And COVID has created, clearly it's not the same. But to me, it feels like college football. I mean, you know, on CBS in prime time last week, it was Alabama and Georgia in Tuscaloosa. It was a top three showdown. And yeah, the crowd wasn't nearly what it normally would be. But, man, the product on the field to me has been as good as ever. So you know, I'm not trying to ignore reality, but I think there was a time, even in August, where we were like, man, I don't know if this season is going to happen. And for the players and the coaches and for those of us who cover it, you know, I always felt confident that the NFL would be okay, but I wondered about college football and the fact that we have gotten this deep into the season with as few issues as we have. And that the Big Ten is starting in the Mountain West and the Pac-12 is not far behind, I think it's a good thing.
And what do you make of the Big Ten? That was very bizarre. And I think all the coaches called out the presidents and said, you weren't transparent. We didn't know what the decision-making was. Now you put us in a situation where you're going to play this winter season. So all of our top players that have aspirations of playing the NFL, they're going to duck it. They're not going to be a part of it. We're going to miss an entire year basically of recruiting because we're going to be prepping for games and doing games and playing games while everyone else has had their season and now going to jump on us in a recruiting standpoint. I think they shamed the presidents into having a season. But what did you think about the whole Big Ten decision and obviously the Pac-10 decision not to play?
You know, I thought they just – the biggest thing is, and the commissioner of the Big Ten took too much heat because you're right. It everybody involved. I think they just pulled the plug too soon instead of sort of letting it play out like the other conference, most of the other conferences. Right. The MAC also did that where they just pulled the plug and made a decision, I feel like, before they really had to. And so then they kind of got backed into a corner like, okay, well, we have to stick with this decision. Well, lo and behold, I think then the pressure went the other way. Like, okay, it's going pretty well. The SEC is playing, and you know, and the Big 12 is playing, and the ACC is playing, and they aren't having many issues, all things considered. Then it became the pressure the other way that, okay, we can't continue to sit here on the sidelines, especially when you consider places in Pennsylvania or surrounding Penn State or places in Ohio, you know, surrounding Ohio State, where the high schools were playing and the other colleges were playing. Like Cincinnati, the Bearcats are a top 10 team. So they're just down the road, like an hour from Columbus, and they're going to be playing, but yet Ohio State's not. So I think there was just so much, and the ball just got rolling down the hill so fast and carried so much momentum that they pretty much had to do it.
A lot of bowl games, I think, have already pulled the plug. They're not going to be available. They're not going to host. And I think financially, when you can't really have as many fans as, you know, 5,500 or 6,500, it's not going to cut it. How do you see the championships being decided? Are we going to have a national champion at the end of the year?
Absolutely. Some bowls, including the Holiday Bowl, I just saw happen within the last 24, 48 hours. And that's always one of my favorites. But I think the big ones are going to stay intact. I mean, definitely the college football playoff is going to happen. And right now, I mean, you know, December 19th is a huge day in terms of that Saturday with the SEC title game. Most of the conference title games, including the Big Ten, and they're going to do it in a really cool way to where they're going to have their championship game, and then you're going to play a team from across the other division corresponding. Like if you finish second in the West and you're going to face the second place team in the East and third place and on down the line, and all those games are going to happen. So I think there's going to be that December 19th is just going to be incredible college football. And then on the 20th, you're going to have your selection happen for the playoff. And then off we go. Now, the big question is, what are these resumes going to look like? Because, you know, the Big Ten has not given themselves any room for error. There are no bye weeks. There's no weeks to where if your game gets postponed or canceled, it ain't going to happen. So you could have the Big Ten champion only play six games. You know, so how does that compare? How does that resume compare with an SEC team that, let's say, they do get all 10 of theirs in, or even only nine of theirs? Let's say they get nine of theirs in and they went 8-1. Well, an 8-1 record in the SEC against a 6-0 in the Big Ten. You know, I don't know how you look at stuff like that. So it's going to be really interesting. This is going to be a season, and the deeper we get, it's going to be crazy in terms of, you know, how this stacks up with how it's always been done.
It's going to be crazy. We're with Brent Stover. He's in New York City. He works for CBS, does a ton of college football work, a lot of studio work for college football, was here with us at FSN Pittsburgh from 2002 to 2006, and now he's a budding college country music star. He's just a renaissance man. He's got it going on. And I brought this up on Instagram? You had a, I don't even know how to set that up, where people can ask you questions. And I fired one out there at you. I don't know where we came across it, but we were working together one night and someone had dug up your audition tape to be on Survivor. And it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. Has that surfaced? Is there any way we could find that again?
You know, it's interesting. I've spent most of my adult life trying to bury that, but it pops up from time to time. At the college football seminar a few years ago for CBS Sports, someone had dug it up and, of course, played it up on the big screen in the room in which we were having. I think it's popped up a couple times down through the years. Yeah, I don't know where it is. Now, as I get older, Paul, and it's a little tougher to keep my shape, if you will. I was in pretty good shape.
Oh, with the six pack and you splashing the water up on your bare chest and your ripped abs. I mean, it was an impressive video.
Oh, Houston Nutt still gives me tough. You know, he's one of our analysts here. He still gives me a hard time about that splash in the water scene. I still wonder back to that day what I was thinking when I thought that'd be a good idea. But yeah, as I get older, I'm a little more willing to maybe have it dug up, you know, because I don't mind showing off those abs. 20 years ago.
No, it was very impressive. Now, two games I know you're probably not covering closely, but what do you think about Notre Dame? Are they worthy of that number 3 ranking? And does Pitt have a chance to pull the upset tomorrow?
I don't think Notre Dame's worthy of the number 3 ranking. And I think after Ohio State beats Nebraska tomorrow, I think they would jump them regardless of what happens with Notre Dame and Pitt. But without the Big Ten starting yet, you had to be a little conservative on where you're going to put them in the rankings. And with Georgia losing to Alabama last week, you kind of had to put Notre Dame in front of them. I'll tell you, I don't know that Pitt's going to show up. Now, whether or not Kenny Pickett is going to play is obviously a big deal.
Probably not.
I know. I'm afraid of that. But listen, I know the level of opponent the last 3 weeks has been a big reason why Pitt went from 3-0 to 3-3. But obviously, yeah, you know it. You guys all know. You don't. Your audience doesn't need me to tell you. I mean, one game you lose by one in regulation, one game you lose by one in overtime, and then you lose to a really good Miami team by 12 last week without Kenny Pickett. The defense of the last 3 weeks has given up 200 more yards per game than they were before that, but it's still a really good pass rush and one of the nation's best rushing defenses. I think it's going to be tight, especially after Notre Dame only beat Louisville 12-7 last week. To me, this feels like Notre Dame's ripe for an upset there in Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you before I let you go, our Penn State Nittany Lions, no Journey Brown, no Micah Parsons. They still have a lot of talent, though, don't they?
A lot of talent, especially a quarterback. I think they're worthy of their top 10 ranking. I think Indiana could be one of the surprise teams in the Big Ten. So I think the opener is not an easy one going on the road to Bloomington. Of course, again, on the road is different this year than normally be.
So
but,
weird.
You know, I don't think it's going to be the 3 or 4 touchdown victory tomorrow. I do think they get it done. I still think they're really good. I think they're the second best team in the East to Ohio State. But I don't know. We'll see.
It's all good. Now, where can people – I know right now everyone that's listening go, man, I remember Brent Stover. I'm going to see this video. Where can people see the Instagram Girl Next Door? Where can they see some of your stuff? It's really good.
Yeah, Instagram Next Door is all over on YouTube. I think we're up to about 2,000 views. But, yeah, and if you like the song, which we hope you do, it's, you know, it's a catchy, fun, wholesome song, but also a little bit tongue-in-cheek, just basically talking about dating in 2020. With Instagram and all the different language, it's probably geared toward a little younger audience. Although we looked after 1 week, the analytics, actually, my social media guy and I today, and it turns out that our best, we're seeing the most, interest in it with guys around the age of like 35 to 48. So go figure. But we'll take whatever we can. But yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah, it's on my Instagram page at @BrentStover_. It's on Twitter, @BrentStoverCBS. And you can download it on all the platforms, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify. So I think we've done a good job of making it pretty easy for people to consume. So the more the merrier.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. It is great to catch up with you. I have a sister in the city that I'm going to come visit in a couple weeks. I want to touch base with you and see if I can catch you. I don't know if you're doing any live. You're probably not. But if by chance you have a live performance, I definitely want to come check it out.
I won't be able to do one for a while, I'm afraid. But I would love to break bread with you. It'd be good to have a cocktail and maybe a little meal if you had time.
I will make time. I think that's going to happen. Brent, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy your work. Have fun with the college football season. I just really appreciate your time, and I miss you here in Pittsburgh, Brent. Take care.
Thanks, Paul, for having me on. Best of luck and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.